You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
That you are listening to right now with your ears, probably.
You don't know that. Maybe they're listening with their friends who have written up a transcription of the episode.
Dude, that'd be great.
Hey, write some transcriptions of our episodes.
I would love to offer transcripts, but I don't know how.
I don't have time to make transcripts. I don't even have time to edit lately.
We should actually look into how expensive it would be to get someone to make them for us.
Contact us. Anyway, here's the intro. Taking a look back at the Fourth Doctor, played by Tom Baker, whose era spanned from season 12 to season 18, which aired from December 28th, 1974 to March 21st, 1981. That's what?
My whole life. At least the last year of it.
That's 7 years of television. We've been watching this since February 2018. Robot went up March 27th, 2018, but we watched it in February. So that's a year and 10 months. It's almost 2 years.
True facts!
Dang.
Yeah, we've been in this era for ever.
So long. So long.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I feel weird not saying that at the top of an episode. Hey, thanks, Matt, or hey, thanks, Steve.
We didn't watch anything, so we have no one to thank. In fact, fuck all y'all.
Fuck all y'all.
No, don't do that.
We love you.
We do.
So, before we did this, I listened to our third Doctor special, because that was 2 years ago.
We had predictions.
We did. Do you want to hear them?
Yes.
Let's see how well we did.
Okay.
Here are our predictions. Humor will pick up a bit. It certainly did for a little while. Not as much as I expected, though.
No.
Except during that, really just during Horns of Nymon and Creature from the Pit.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have like a big chunk of it.
Like slapsticky stuff?
Yeah.
And witty dialogue. And there's definitely some of it.
There's parts of it, but it never... I would say Ford's era never like cohesively becomes one thing. It's a lot of experimenting, I think.
And I mean, it's 7 years. So
well, yeah.
I feel like there's different eras, too.
There's different eras in the Fourth Doctor.
Yeah, you've got the Third Doctor bleed over. You've got the horror Hinchcliffe, the goofy Graham Williams, and then whatever the fuck J&T just did last season. Oh, also there was that, like, really good, like, Romana 1 era. I don't know what that was. But the, like... Key to Time, thank you. Yeah, I feel like that in itself was, like, an era. But yeah,
I liked Key to Time.
I did too. Like, the whole season was pretty good until, like, it got a bit wobbly at the end. But it started so strong.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll do our bracket a little bit later, but,
okay. Let's do some more predictions.
Be more weird. It'll be more weird.
Sometimes.
Definitely more weird than the Third Doctor era, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely weirder. Especially, like, Warrior's Gate and stuff like that. And I don't think anything was as weird in the Third Doctor era. Maybe in the Second Doctor era, Mind Robber. But I'd say overall, this era is definitely weirder just because of the sheer amount of episodes, so...
They had time to be weirder.
Here's another prediction, that Tom Baker would be more alien, but enjoyable, not cold, excited about things.
Hmm. I feel like some of that is true some of the time.
I do think he did get cold.
I was going to say, he was definitely very alien and definitely very excited about things. Except that the longer it went on, it was kind of clear that he wasn't.
And he wasn't excited about any of his companions. Like, he stopped being excited about his companions. He's just like, I'm not even going to look at people. Except for, you know, he did sort of marry one of them.
But definitely more alien. I think Tom Baker nails that sort of... There's something just kind of off about him.
I don't know. I do feel like there was like a period where it was like, this is Tom Baker as the Doctor. Then it was like, this is the Doctor. And then it went back to being, this is Tom Baker not wanting to be the doctor anymore.
Yeah.
Sarah Jane will get better and better. I think we thought she was going to have a much larger role in this era than she did.
Yeah, how many episodes is she with four for?
Let me check and see. It's not many.
I actually have been feeling very bad about this because I remember in the Third Doctor special when we ranked the companions, yes, we did not put Sarah Jane in the first spot because we're like, well, she's with the Fourth Doctor for like ever. So we're probably going to put her first in the Fourth Doctor, but I don't think I'm gonna.
Two seasons out of what, though? 2 seasons plus 2 serials. So that's out of, I don't know, what did I say?
I mean, you said 7 years, but I don't know how many seasons that is.
There were 7 seasons. She was in 2 seasons and a little bit.
So like 2 seasons is a long time, but 2 out of 7 isn't a significant chunk of it, which is weird. It's almost difficult to talk about the Fourth Doctor era as a cohesive thing because
she was in 13 serials.
Because it's so big. And how much of it was she in with 3? Like, also, what percentage of 3's run was she in? Is probably bigger.
Percentage wise, probably, but not
as
amount. She's in a whole season, 5 serials. So she's definitely in more of 4.
Also, like, from my perspective, I hardly remember those episodes.
Yeah.
We watched them all almost 2 years ago. Sarah Jane, I remember liking her, but I don't have, like, the same, like, oh man, Romana, she was so great.
When we did the, like, bracket for the Third Doctor, you were like, man, I can't remember these episodes. That was, like, a couple months
prior. That was a couple. I don't know how much help I'm going to be with the bracket.
I'll have to remind you of things.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
I'll try my best, but honestly, I don't remember a lot of what we watched. It's 2 years worth of stuff we're talking
about. I have a note here that says, because I got, like, let's rank the companions. It says, Sarah Jane, we said she'd be the top of the list.
Oh no! Any more predictions?
It will be easier to get through when it becomes more standardized, more four, 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 six. Yeah.
I'd say that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Towards the end there, we were having difficulty getting through it, but
I think we got bored.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I think we got a little bogged down.
We're about to get out of the standardized and more, it's going to be a different standard. And there'll be more two-parters. And then we're going to have that weird season where it's like 45-minute episodes.
Mm.
That's like 1 season of 6.
Do you think it's going to feel like we're like clicking through it after this?
Yeah. Like oh shit, he's already done?
Yeah, like we're just going to be over and we're going to be like, oh, we finished it. That was all Classic Who. Good job.
I think like their seasons are shorter than any of the other Doctors, right?
I think so.
I mean, except maybe. I mean, of classic Doctors, not including 8, because 9's probably pretty short. No, 9's really short, so.
Yeah, 9's a season.
6 is the shortest, I think. Is that right? Because no one liked him.
I don't know. You're the one who looks up all that numbers stuff.
So, okay, we have 2 more predictions. One was that the show is going to become more lore heavy.
Oh, I think that's fair. I think that panned out.
We got a lot of Gallifrey stuff. I mean, we got, like, Romana. For one, and we left Leela there for some reason. We got that guy with the weird accent. What was his name?
Drix.
Drix. Drix or Drax?
Drax. No, it's Drax. Drix is nothing.
Spoilers, that I don't think that episode's in the bracket. I liked him, and I liked that they got shrunk, but the rest of the...
We'll talk about the bracket when we get to the bracket.
Yeah. Okay, last prediction. We will get out of introducing concepts and get more into exploring concepts. That's more tied in with the lore thing, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah. It was the idea that we were saying that, like, they were setting up a lot of, like, Gallifrey and Time Lords. I feel like, I feel like they just started doing a lot of both at the same time.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which is why you have a handful of episodes where you're like, wait, what? Because they're setting up and doing so much at the same time, and you're like, hold on, hang on. Everyone stand still while I try to work out this plot.
I feel like our predictions were...
A little hit and miss.
Not terribly bad, though.
Predictions. Did we do that at the end? Do we want to give our predictions?
We want to finish 4, then, like, all right, let's dive into pre-5.
Yuck.
Do you want to rank the companions? Let me list the
companions. I want you to list them, but you have them in your order, and I want you to list them in no particular order.
Well, no, this isn't my order. This is the order.
Chronological.
Okay, yes. My ranking's down here.
Okay, go ahead and give them that.
All right, so now here's where it gets a little tricksy. Because I ranked 13 companions. You're probably going to rank less. But here's the order that we get them.
They're not 13 companions. Who did you count?
All right, here we go. Okay. You ready? Now, I don't think this is, like, exactly chronological. But
just
it's
give them.
Anyway, the Brigadier.
Sure.
Benton.
Sure.
Sarah Jane.
All companions.
Harry Sullivan.
Okay.
Leela.
Okay.
K-9.
Sure.
K-9 Mark II, voiced by John Leeson. Who is technically, he voiced K-9 Mark I as well.
Mm-hmm. So you have that listed as a second character.
Yeah, and then K-9 Mark II, voiced by David Brierley.
So you have three K-9. You have K-9 on the list three times.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I will give you.
You know what? And then it went back to John Leeson. I could do, but like, I'm still counting that as the same K-9.
Well, this is Mark II. That's the case. Why will you not just count K-9 two and one as the same? Because here's what I will give you. Two different actors playing K-9. Counting that as two different companions makes sense to me.
But technically, it's a completely different character.
It's a completely
different robot.
He's exactly the same. He's the same character. He's the same
actually,
prop even.
I will have some disagreements there when we get to it.
You think the character of K-9 radically changes between Mark 1 and Mark 2?
Yeah, there are some slight differences.
Explain.
No,
I want it now.
No, I'll explain when I do my ranking. Because I have my ranking.
Okay.
Anyway, after that, we've got Romana 1, Romana 2.
Sure.
Those are technically the same character. But
they're played by two different people. I will give you counting K-9 twice.
Well, we
counting K-9 three times isn't what?
We never counted that one dude who played Jamie in The Mind Robber.
As a companion?
Yeah.
I don't even know what argument you're making. That we should go back and do a special link on him.
Yeah, we gotta put him in the ranking somewhere. Jamie Mark II. Then we have Adric, Nyssa, and finally Tegan.
That's a lot of ranking to do.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that's hard.
Well, for you, you can like get rid of one of those canines.
I will get rid of one of those canines because you won't give me any justification for keeping them separate.
I mean, okay, do you want me to tell you what my justification
is? Yes!
I think Mark II K-9 is less, they're less interested in him. Like, at that point, that's when they, like, K-9 sort of became the butt of jokes, and they just threw him around a lot, or they used him less, so he's not as prominent in
but
it.
But his character is the same.
They treat him differently.
Okay.
Like, the writers do. That he becomes more of a joke than a character. It's like when, like, a character becomes sort of flanderized or whatever, like, but, like, that wasn't there necessarily with Mark I, but it definitely was there with Mark II. Accused.
I suppose I'll allow it.
You don't have to do the ranking like that, though, so.
I'm not going to. There's not a significant difference in how I would rank them. I am interested.
I do have them, like right next to each other, so it doesn't even matter. Though I do have the two different actors playing John Leeson.
That's fair, because
pretty far apart.
John Leeson should be way far above.
He's definitely above David Brierley.
The whole time David Brierley was doing it, I was like, who is this? This is not my dog! Bring my dog back!
This is not my good doggy boy.
This is not my good doggy boy. The problem I'm gonna have is that, like, I would love to have Benton, like, up near the top because I love Benton.
Oh,
but Benton is not a fourth Doctor companion. Benton is in a couple of fourth Doctor serials.
Yeah. He's definitely somewhat higher up in mine just because I don't like some of the newer companions.
Oh my god, you have him up above Adric. Okay, why don't you give him to me?
I mean, but of course I'm gonna like
do you
want to
go ascending
because,
or descending?
I mean, start at the bottom, work your way up.
Let's hear it.
Alright, number 13 for me is Tegan. Because
She just got here.
They didn't establish her very well.
They did not.
She didn't have much to do. They should not have introduced her in Legopolis. Don't introduce a companion in the last episode of a Doctor, even though that's kind of what I would do if I rebooted it. But still, I think it's a bad idea.
That's what I would do, but they shouldn't have done it.
Well, no, see, my difference with mine was it would be the pilot.
Oh, no, I gotcha.
I would have, like, a really old guy in the pilot who's the Doctor who, like, regenerates at the end of the episode into a young dude.
Because you want to mess with fan expectations?
Yeah. And also, they did a similar thing.
Why do you want him to be young?
It would, for me, would be like,
I would love to see a young, like,
classic Who to New Who is what it would be in one episode.
No. Do you know what is better is, like, having a young guy and then he dies and then, like, regenerates into an old woman.
Mm.
That would be great.
Well, here's the thing is, in my like, he'd have to be old in my version because it would be, like, a throwback to the first Doctor. And he's, like, this creepy old
I don't like
guy.
Your pitch at all.
I like my pitch, so shut up.
Maybe.
Anyway, this isn't my time to pitch my Doctor Who pilot. But he would be, like, Everybody be talk. He'd like live out in this like junkyard, and everybody talks about him, sort of thing. And he's just like this old war doctor. Anyway,
your pitch is terrible.
The companions like are going to investigate him, and then like stuff happens. But like they did a very similar thing when they did the Munsters reboot, Brian Fuller thing, where they had like the old Eddie Izzard played the old. He played Grandpa, and then at the end, he like rejuvenated into a young version of himself. Be similar sort of situation. Anyway,
that's a bad pitch, Joe.
Would you say Tegan's your number, your bottom?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Then we got number 12 is Nyssa. Same sort of deal. She didn't have a lot of...
I like Nyssa a lot, though. Do I like Nyssa or do I just really like her dress? It's hard for me to say. She's got great hair and a good dress. I don't know much about her character yet, but I like those two things about her.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't dislike her. I just don't feel like I know her at all. Next, I have... 11, Harry Sullivan, who actually I might swap with Nyssa. I'm not sure. I can go back and forth. Like, I like the guy who plays Harry Sullivan more than I like the character.
Yeah, I think he did a great job with a character I care nothing about.
I mean, he's a big part of Doctor Who. He wrote a lot of novelizations and stuff like that. And that's, I find that
you can't
cool.
bump him. You can't bump up his character because it's something the actor did.
Okay, but also he has.
No!
He also has Harry Sullivan as an imbecile.
Again, he didn't do that. The character Harry Sullivan has nothing to do with the podcast Harry Sullivan is
No,
an
not
imbecile.
The podcast. I like the line.
Okay, he doesn't say the line.
No, the doctor does, but it's about him.
And
and it's about his actions in that episode. Plus, he has that scene where he tips his hat. And he has a few little decent moments of comedy and stuff. I'd say he definitely has more of a character than Nyssa or Tegan currently has.
I mean, that's fair. So next is your first K-9?
Yes. Then it's K-9 Mark II, who he's fine, but it's just a cheap knockoff, you know? It's like you're watching the generic version of Doctor Who. Then it's Adric, who I don't, like, hate, but he's definitely not as good as the rest of the companions that are coming up. I imagine he'll bump down lower on the next list, because everything I've heard is he's not great with the Fifth Doctor. Then it's the Brigadier, who's only so low because he's barely in it.
Same with Benton.
Yeah, same with Benton. Benton's a little higher than the Brigadier this time.
Because you love Benton.
Yeah, and also Benton actually gets a little bit more to do than the Brigadier, because we had that episode where they came back to UNIT, and Benton was there, and Harry Sullivan was there. But then
that episode was so weird.
It was that guy that was not the Brigadier. So, I mean, they're barely in it. I'll give Benton a little bit. Brigadier topped last season, or last Doctor. Maybe he wasn't the top, but he was above Benton. So
that surprises me.
Why?
Because, I mean, I don't remember the episode, but I would have guessed that you put Benton at the top.
Of the Third Doctor?
Yeah, love Benton so
much.
I do
love Benton, but there's way more important companions than Benton.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that one was, it was,
I feel like it doesn't matter who's more important, it's just who you like.
Well, yeah, but, like, I felt like Liz Shaw had to be top.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Liz Shaw and Joe Grant and Sarah Jane all were above Benton.
Man, I saw, I can't remember the account now, but somebody on Twitter had, like, posted, like, list your top three companions, and the person who posted the question said, Joe Grant, Donna Noble, and Bill, and I had to tweet at them. I was like, based on this list alone, I just inherently trust you as a person. It's like, what, that is a great list.
It is a great list. But, you know, like, putting Benton above them would be like if I was like, who's your favorite member of the Scooby Gang? And I was like, well, at the bottom is Xander, then Dawn.
Kind of got really confused for a minute because I thought you were talking about fucking Scooby-Doo.
Sorry. On Buffy. It'd be like, it's Xander, then Dawn, then Cordelia, and then at the top is Jonathan. Like, that'd be weird.
Why? I mean, not if Jonathan was your favorite.
He's just not really part of the Scooby Gang, to be fair. He actually is a villain for a while. Anyway, Andrew, maybe. No, Andrew would count. I don't know. Anyway, I was a dumb analogy, and I'm moving on. Brigadier Benton, then K-9 Mark II, followed closely by K-9 Mark I, for reasons I previously
stated.
You
just put them right next to each other. There's no reason for that distinction.
And I actually really like K-9. So he's actually pretty close to the top, but now we're getting into...
But you would say that you like K-9 better when they're not using him as
the butt
as
of
a joke.
Yeah, as a joke. It's just like, there's so many episodes that feel like it's just like the writer's like, I fucking hate K-9, so fuck him in this episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just treat him like trash. So above K-9, we got Romana number... This is going to be controversial.
Okay.
Romana 2.
Romana 2. You like Romana 1 better.
Yeah, it goes Romana 2, Sarah Jane, Romana 1. I like Romana 2. Going into this, like, I had heard a lot more about her. Like, I didn't even really know what, like, Romana 1 looked like.
Mm, but you had heard of Lala Ward and knew about her.
Yeah, I think my expectations were, like, higher.
Mm.
And so when she got here, I really liked Romana 1. And then when, like, Romana 2 showed up, there was definitely an awkward period.
Yeah, she took a while where I think she was playing Romana 1, and that did not suit her.
Yeah, and I don't think I ever fully latched on to Romana 2.
Mm.
I don't know. The people who probably originally watched it for years.
This is exactly what I'm talking about when we, like, do these rankings, where it's like, when you do them, it's like, oh, well, I just got finished watching Romana 2, so Romana 2 is, like, the best. She was on TV for a long time. Like, I remember her the most, and so yeah, I like her the most.
They barely remember Mary Tam.
Yeah.
But whereas I just watched them both one after the other, and I'd, like, I still remember Mary Tam really well. So, I don't know.
She was great. I'm trying to see if there's anything in your ranking that I disagree with.
Well, I'm not done yet. I got one more.
Oh.
Number one. Leela.
Leela. God, that's so fair, actually. I have a hard time disagreeing with anything that you've laid out. I'm a little bit sad at how low Edric is, but he's fine? Edric is fine. I do wonder if Edric shouldn't be above Benton and the Brig, just based on, like, a lot of arguments you made.
Of importance.
I could see Edric being up higher because just the amount of time he's been on the air.
Well, honestly, he's probably roughly in the same amount of episodes.
Do you think so? It's got to be in at least a couple more. I feel like the Brig was in, like, 2.
Well, let's see. He was definitely in Robot.
And Adric had, like, a whole season, didn't he?
No, he had, like, half a season. I don't remember if they were in Terror of the Zygons. I think they, you know, it was in Terror of the Zygons. You know, it was also in Seeds of Doom, but no one was in it. Benton came back for... there was the one where, like, Harry Sullivan ends. Brig's in that. Okay. Brig was in two serials, and Benton was in 2, maybe 3.
But then Andric has literally half a season.
He's got Full Circle, State of Decay, Warriors Gatekeeper, Track, and Legopolis. 5.
Yeah. That's way more.
He's barely in more. State of Decay. Alright, so you would bump Andric above Benton and Brig.
I mean, I don't like Edric more, but I would say he's more of a quintessential companion than them, because they're
this is your personal ranking.
They're not fourth Doctor companions. I would not consider Benton and the Brig fourth Doctor companions. I would consider them third Doctor companions.
Well, what about Sarah Jane?
I would consider Sarah Jane a fourth Doctor companion, because she had a more significant amount of time.
So, is there anything else in the list you would adjust?
No.
You feel the same way about Romana's?
I have a hard time, because I don't like when people compare people. It hurts my feelings.
Well, I mean, I definitely have the Romana separated by a Sarah Jane.
Yeah. I like both of the Romanas greatly. I do think I like the character of Romana 1 better than I like Romana 2. I do like Lala Ward, though. I think she's adorable. But I like the character. I think there is more to the character of Romana 1. And she is a little bit more... What is the word?
I think Romana 2 definitely had...
Like, Romana improved. 1 fights back more.
Right. I think Romana 1 was set already. And she's like... Her whole run is like... She knew what she was doing. She did it. And it was good. It was solid.
Yeah.
And I think Romana 2 started wobbly. Got a little bit better. And then, like, by the end, she was really good.
Yeah.
Romana 1 was more consistent.
Yeah. And I do want Sarah Jane to be up in number 3 because I feel bad for not putting her number 1 in the Third Doctor era. And I wouldn't. I think Leela deserves number 1.
Leela was super great. And the only thing I don't like about it is the way they shoved her off the show. Just because of Dude on Gallifrey.
Anyway, we found you a man now. Everyone knows married people can't go on adventures.
So that's our rankings.
We did it.
I think next we do the bracket.
Oh, I can't do the bracket. Okay, so maybe there are people listening who've never done a special with us before.
We kind of skipped over, like, general thoughts on Tom Baker and the era, which we did in the last one, but we can save that till later, or we can do it now.
Well, because...
It makes more sense to talk about it after we do the rankings, I feel like, or something.
Yeah. So what we usually do at this point... Well, I say usually. This is only the fourth one of these we've ever done. But we do a Sweet 16. We do a bracket of every serial. Now, we cut some of them out because, I mean, how many episodes would we be doing if we just 42. Did all of them?
42.
No way?
There's 42 serials.
The answer.
I cut some out.
Which ones did you cut out and why? We don't feel it's all of them, but what is your metric?
Just that they weren't good.
just that they wouldn't make it.
I cut out Underworld, because it's not great. I cut out Power of Krull because it's fucking terrible. It's the only one I can't stand it. It's not good. I would not watch it again. Revenge of the Cybermen, because it just wasn't memorable.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to help you do this bracket. Normally we like discuss it together and we fight about it. I don't, in 2 years of watching a show, I don't remember every single episode.
All right, well, I can actually tell you all the ones I've cut out. Sondheim Experiment. Do you remember that one? It's a two-parter. Harry Sullivan and Sarah Jane, they landed on a planet with a...
Oh, God, I don't.
With a Sontaran, and he's torturing people.
I vaguely remember it.
It was very short, and it wasn't that memorable. Revenge of the Cybermen was just the Cybermen one that was, like, very... That was one where Harry Sullivan is an imbecile comes from, but it
God,
just wasn't...
I hate most Cybermen stories. I'm sorry. I know that's controversial. I can't help it.
I cut out the android invasion, even though it has that great, like, Sarah Jane's face falls off reveal and the, like, weird time loop. It just didn't really go anywhere. This one's going to be controversial. I cut out The Talents of Wang Chiang.
It's not that good. The comedy duo in it is great, and they deserve to be, like, as celebrated in fandom as they are. The actual episode itself, it's fine?
Cut out Underworld, which was the one where they, like, use CSO, like, way too much.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Cut out Power Krull. I cut out the Armageddon factor, just because it was kind of boring, other than Drax, and they shrunk down. Other than that, it was kind of...
But they did shrink down, though.
They did shrink down. I cut out Destiny of the Daleks, which was the second...
Oh, God, that one was awful.
Yeah, it was the second one with Davros. I cut out the Leisure Hive, because I thought it looked great, but was boring as hell.
Okay.
And I think that might be all I cut out.
All right, so let's look at what have we got?
All right, our first, we've got The Face of Evil versus Meglos.
I don't know what those two are.
All right, Face of Evil, the Doctor is the one that introduces Leela. It's the one where the Doctor winds up on a planet where his face is on a mountain.
Yeah, okay.
That's the Seventeen and all that.
And Meglos?
Meglos is the cactus.
Oh, no. Based on those two descriptions, I want to pass on Meglos.
Really?
I liked the cactus.
The cactus was good. I think Face of Evil is probably a better episode, though.
That might be fair.
Mighty Boosh.
The Boosh.
Chris Boosher.
I don't even think that's how you say his name.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just called him the Booch.
Just insist on it.
Are we going to have to phone a friend, like, right now?
Okay, here's the thing. I don't remember the plot of the episodes that well. What I do remember... I don't remember Face of Evil that well, because it was so long ago. What I do remember is thinking the cactus was really funny. I think we should phone a friend, because I think I need help. But I can't... Are you pulling up GIFs so I'll remember?
Yeah. The Face of Evil had a lot of stuff going for it. I'll pull up Meglos, too. Basically, the Face of Evil is the one where the Doctor fucked something up. And then has to come back and deal with it. And he doesn't remember fucking it up. He basically he put himself into the system.
All right, I'm going to have to say Meglos because I don't remember Face of Evil enough. Does that guy have a power glove on his head?
Yes. He was like the leader of the Seva team, which was Survey Team.
Oh, okay. If you want, I will just trust you and pass on the Face of Evil.
Okay, but what? Okay, here's the thing. What does Meglos have for it other than the cactus?
I don't remember, but the cactus was pretty funny. There's that one shot where you...
Meglos is about to beat the Face of Evil right now. Okay, I'm passing on Meglos.
No, I said I would pass on the Face of Evil.
Well, I don't want to bully you into doing Face of Evil.
I can't even remember anything about the plot of Meglos except that the cactus is really funny.
It also had those like two like thieves who were like the comedy duo, but like not written well.
Do you want to phone a friend? Because we can do it.
Yeah, let's phone a friend. Let's fucking call Chris Cherry. I know what he's going to say.
What's he gonna
say? He's gonna say Face of Evil. He was on that one. But let's do it anyway.
No, I think we need to call Chris Cherry because I don't remember the plots of anything. And it needs to be more than just you saying it and me being like,
right.
Okay.
Right. We are literally on our first one.
Already.
And it's mostly because Tony can't remember things.
I don't remember the plot of anything.
Nope. We had like 13 companions to go through.
Oh, you're just companions. Gotcha.
And I decided there were 13 of them. Okay, so here's our literally our first one. The Face of Evil and Meglos.
Face of Evil is Face of Evil, right? Chris Boucher, Chris Boucher.
Yeah, the Boosh. Yeah.
That's not even how you say his name.
I told you! He was on that episode!
I was literally on this episode and talking about how it was one of my favorites.
Then we should pass it on.
Alright, Face of Evil. Moving on. Jesus.
I just thought the cactus was really funny.
It's talking like a baby. It's like just yelling things. And it's the doctor's face. Who am I? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm good with this now. I remember it now.
We did it. We got one. We have so many left to go. We will call you back if we have any more problems. And then probably just call you back later just for fun. Round two, because of the way this bracket works, is The Seeds of Doom and The Face of Evil.
I don't remember The Seeds of Doom, and you guys just made a very compelling argument for why The Face of Evil was good.
I can tell you about Seeds of Doom real quick.
Okay.
Plants. There's that guy who, like, wants to fuck plants.
Yeah.
There's Scorby, who the doctor breaks his neck.
And then he's fine.
And then he's fine. It was the one where we created Agents of Web. It had that old lady who was like, not the old lady from Stones of Blood, but okay. The other old lady.
Do you have a preference, and is it Seeds of Doom?
Honestly, yeah, I prefer Seeds of Doom. Oh, also Seeds of Doom had like the first two episodes were like the thing. Like they were in like the Arctic base.
Yeah.
And then the last four episodes were like a completely different serial.
Let's pass on Seeds of Doom.
Seeds of Doom. Chris would disagree with us on that one, but...
I'm having a hard time because now that I remember Face of Evil, it was really fun.
Here's the thing. I think Face of Evil was really good.
Yeah.
But Seeds of Doom was really fun.
You know? Okay. And I will always...
I'll pick fun over...
Every time.
Planet of Evil. There's so many of evils. Planet of Evil and the Keeper of Trakken.
I don't even really remember Planet of Evil and I want to pass that one on.
You didn't like Keeper of Trakken?
It was fun.
The thing I super remember about the Planet of Evil... is that they had the, like, outline monster.
This is so hard.
The guy whose eyes went all fuzzy. Like, it was the planet of, like, antimatter or something like that. That was terrifying. He was, like, turning into a monster and he was going to shoot himself out into space. But then he turned before he could do it into, like, a monster. Oh, it's a good one. Planet of Evil is real good. It's better than Keeper of Trakken. I almost didn't put Keeper of Trakken on there. So put... Planet of Evil.
Moving on. What else we got?
Robot and Shada.
Oh.
Robot was the very first Fourth Doctor episode. K1.
I want to say Shada.
Yeah, definitely Shada.
Yeah.
I liked Robot a lot, though. It was a good introduction.
It's just not fair to put it. Like, Shada's going to move a couple of times.
Sorry, Robot. Shada wins. City of Death. That's another Douglas Adams one.
Well, out of, like... all the episodes, I'm like, I'm trying to remember. City of Death is one that I have distinct memories of.
We're in Paris. We're really in Paris. City of Death and The Invisible Enemy. The Invisible Enemy introduced K-9. They shrunk down and went inside the doctor's head. They created clone duplicates and they went inside his head. Him and Leela. Remember that?
Vaguely. My gut says City of Death.
My gut says City of Death, too.
Okay.
I know you like shrinking. They left shit in the doctor's brain. But yeah, City of Death, for sure. City of Death is really good. Douglas Adams is gonna kick ass in this, I feel like.
I mean, that's just who we are.
Horror of Fang Rock, that's the Lighthouse episode.
I do remember really liking Horror of Fang Rock, I think. Yes?
Yeah, I think so. It's real good. It was Terrence Dix. It was the one that had the Rutan. It was very creepy and atmospheric. Everyone died in it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Horror of Fang Rock and Nightmare of Eden. I like Nightmare of Eden, okay. Nightmare of Eden had the big, like, Muppet dudes who broke through the wall. There was, like, the portal thing. Like, it was, like, they collected, like, areas. And they put it in, like, a computer. They accidentally got some, like, creatures from a place. And they were escaping
onto
a cruise liner.
Is this the one
with, The Mandrels, I think, were what the monster were called.
I feel like you're describing Carnival of Monsters, and I'm confused.
No! It was the one that had a similar the concept of the thing. It was like the guy, the bad guy was like the guy with the weird accent with the sunglasses.
I feel like if I can't remember it, I can't pass it on.
The thing is, we watched that one so much more recently than,
I have a problem. I can't tell you how many times I've told people, like, people are talking about movies, and I've been like, oh, I've never seen it. And then Joe, I remember the Mandrills because I remember them being very cute. How many times I've been like, I've never seen that movie. And then Joe will be like, we watched that movie together. I know you've seen it. I don't retain information. I remember
the doctor had to lead him back into, like, there was like a portal that opened up with like the forest, and the doctor had to lead him back in there. And then he just like hams it up for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of, this is in the era of when we were just like, this episode was fine.
Yeah. For sure. I'm definitely moving on Horrifying Rock. It's way better.
Yeah.
I feel good about that. I want you to make the decision once you know what the episode is.
No, I gotcha.
Horrifying Rock. Moving on. You should remember both of these. The Deadly Assassin.
Ooh.
And The Pirate Planet.
Which one's The Deadly Assassin?
That's the Manchurian Candidate one. It's the Crispy Master. The Doctor comes back. It's Gallifrey.
Oh, yeah.
They go inside. Is that the one? I think that's the one where they go inside the Matrix.
Yeah. I do like that one. And then the pirate, I remember the Pirate Planet because it's very Adamsy.
And it had that, like, the twist ending of who the bad guy was.
I really like the Deadly Assassin. I'm going to pass on Pirate Planet. Yeah?
Yeah.
With Adams.
Adams.
Go.
Sorry. It's probably
the least good Adams
one, but oh shit, these are two great ones, and I know which one I'm gonna pick. But The Brain of Morbius,
shit,
and Genesis of the Daleks.
Here's the thing: if The Brain of Morbius had been up against, because I do actually remember both of these, if The Brain of Morbius had been up against anything else, I would have passed it on without even thinking about it. You can't not pass on Genesis of the Daleks. Oh,
I don't like the ending. It's good.
Davos, it's quintessential. This is like for so many people, this defines this entire era of Doctor Who. I get it. Brain of Morbius is great.
It's super fun. It's scary. It's terrifying. It's hilarious. My problem with Genesis of the Daleks, I don't super remember the plot very well.
But you
I remember that scene. The one scene. I remember Davros. And I remember
that
it
scene
doesn't
is what
end
people...
well.
That scene is what
Oh, you know what else
a
Genesis of Daleks has that's not very good? Giant fucking clams for no reason.
We should pass it on for the giant clams.
Okay, but Brain of Morbius is so fucking good.
I'm not going to dispute that. It's great. It's a great episode.
If I had to watch one right now, I would watch Brain of Morbius before I watch Genesis of the Daleks.
We just can't knock Genesis of the Daleks out second round. It's Genesis of the Daleks.
I'm willing to fight for this one.
Oh, God. Are you?
Are we going to call Cherry for a tiebreaker?
We gotta.
You know what? Because Cherry was on Brain of Morbius.
How are we doing this?
Is this the second one?
Yeah, it is. No. We've moved on some. Douglas Adams is killing it, by the way. I already know what you're going to pick, and you're going to pick the one I picked. So that's why I'm calling you. The Brain of Morbius.
And you didn't even hear the second one.
And
okay, but like, The Brain of Morbius is like actually probably my favorite classic material.
Do you want to hear what the other one is, though? Just.
I know, I want to know what I'm getting.
Genesis of the Daleks.
This is why I don't like brackets. Are like, the thing about brackets is that they're not a ranking system. An attempt to get at the best one. When you look at a bracket, that doesn't mean that, like, the ones right before were the second best one, the third, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
It only means that the one at the top was the best.
That's what's so hard about this, because it sucks to push Genesis out so early. We're in round two.
Yeah, Genesis is like a top 10 classic Who serial.
Yes.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
It's so much fun, and I can list so many negative things about Genesis of the Daleks, and I can't list anything negative about Brain of Morbius, because it's just good.
It's great. Yeah, I love it. It's perfect, and I love it. So, just also, like, Genesis is good, in spite of it actually not being, like, very much the ethos of Doctor Who. I mean,
Brain of Morbius, then.
Brain of Morbius.
It moves on, and brackets are bad.
We're just going to call you on every episode you guessed it on, by the way.
Yeah.
We'll call you if we have any more troubles. Talk to you later.
All right,
so Brain of Morbius. Thing is, Chris and I are similar people, so this isn't fair to you.
We need a more neutral party.
All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
The Ark in Space, bubble wrap, and The Mask of Mandragora. The Ark in Space was the, Harry Sullivan and Sarah Jane, it was like, I feel like it's the first one of the fourth Doctor that, like, he was, like, 100%, yeah. It was, they're on a ship, they have, like, all those people that are, like, frozen or whatever, and then, like, a big bug is, like, basically getting out.
Big bug.
And, like, that one guy's turning into the monster, but he's just wrapped in fucking bubble wrap, but it's still, like, very atmospheric, and it's the first horror one, really.
Okay.
It's basically Alien, kind of.
And The Mask?
I'm gonna be honest, I don't super remember, except for the salami sandwich line.
I don't care about either of these. Would you like to pass on the Ark in Space?
Yeah, I want
to
pass on the Ark in Space. Okay. Also, the Doctor had that, like, great speech where he's standing in the room with all the containment things, and he's just talking about how, like, great humans are.
Oh, okay. Sure. Why not? Go for it.
Ark in Space.
This next one's not even a contest.
Oh, yeah, it's a little bit of a contest. The Rebos Operation, Benrell was right. Scringestone, and Warrior's Gate. Fuck,
but
I love both
of
those.
Warrior's Gate.
I love Warrior's Gate. I love it better than Rebos, because Warrior Gate is so...
It's so weird.
It's so weird, and it's so...
I honestly would probably do Rebos Operation, just because there's more to, like, hold on to there. But I know how much you liked Warrior's Gate, and I would not argue against it.
Okay, Warrior's Gate. I'm sorry. Rebos is so good, but Warrior's Gate is just, like,
I know it's, like, your quintessential Doctor Who.
It is. Okay, The Hand of Fear, which was Sarah Jane's last one. It had Eldrad, who was a hot stone chick who turned into a boring stone dude.
Oh, yeah.
And Terror of the Zygons.
Think I liked Terror of the Zygons.
Had Nessie.
Does that...
I liked Terror of the Zygons. I think, like, both of these are a little weak, but have strong points. I'd actually say Hand of Fear, just because Sarah Jane's final scene, and
the design.
I loved the, yeah, Eldrad.
The design of that was so good.
Hand of Fear?
Yeah.
Hand of Fear. Man, we're losing so many good ones right at the top, because...
Brackets are bad.
Brackets are bad.
We should not be doing this at all.
Let's continue. Oh, this one's no contest.
The Robots of Death.
Yeah, Full Circle versus the Robots of Death. Remember Full Circle?
No, but I remember Robots of Death. Robots of Death was great.
Full Circle is the first Adric one.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, no. Robots of Death.
Robots
go,
of
go,
death.
Go.
Robots of Death.
Full Circle is nothing. Goodbye. Adric doesn't know how to swim. That's weird.
The Stones of Blood and Image of the Findal. Image of the Findal had the woman with the eyeballs and the snake turds.
Well, love everyone's got eyeballs.
No, she had, like, painted on eyes, and she was very creepy, and, like... there were snake turd things going around.
What?
It had the old woman who was, like, psychic in the woods. Then Stones of Blood had the big stones that killed people. And the old lady who was great. And she maybe in a relationship with the evil woman. Who then it turns into, like, a courtroom drama for the last half. On a spaceship that she escaped from. A prison ship. And the doctor's being, like... examined by these, like, glowing light things. It's Stones of Blood.
I was gonna say, based on your description, Stones of Blood sounds a lot more fun.
It is a lot more fun. Images of Findal, though, it had that skull. It was the skull that was, like, millions of years old or whatever, and the doctor touches it and goes, ah! It was more horror.
Oh.
Though, yeah, I think I prefer Stones of Blood.
Move on the weird thing over the scary thing.
The Androids of Terra, which is, the one with, there's a woman that looks like Romana one. It's the, like, medieval one. There's robots and stuff. Versus State of Decay, which is the vampire one.
Whatever you say.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
I think
I don't have a strong opinion.
I think Android, these are both similar.
These are both fine.
I'd say maybe Androids of Terror, because I like the bad guy. Well, I like the vampires in State of Decay.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, pass on State of Decay, because for aesthetics.
Plus, the castle was a spaceship. That's pretty cool. The Creature from the Pit, Dick Monster, and the Sunmakers.
Oh, the Sunmakers. It's the Sunmakers. Yeah.
I almost didn't put Creature from the Pit, but I do enjoy it just for its sort of terribleness. But the Sunmakers is just legitimate.
Sunmakers is so good.
The Horns of Nymon and the Invasion of Time.
Remind me what the Invasion of Time is before I just pass the Horns of Nymon on.
I mean, the Horns of Nymon is going to pass on anyway. But the Invasion of Time is the Doctor goes back to Gallifrey, takes up the position of president. He's like, guess what? Bad guys are taking over now. Ha ha ha. And laughs evilly. And then they take care of that. And then twist, the Sontarans have arrived. And then they go spend, like, two episodes inside the TARDIS, going around and around inside the TARDIS.
Horns of Nymon!
Yeah. I do like that we explored the TARDIS. That's the only thing that, like, would have bumped it up over other things for me. But yeah, definitely Horns of Nymon, just for being so ridiculous.
Three Nymon!
That guy's the sole reason that's moving on. That one's, the like, so bad it's good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Pyramids of Mars, Mummies, and Legopolis.
We just watched Legopolis, so I remember it.
Do you want a refresher on pyramids?
Yeah.
It had Sutek, the guy inside the coffin. It had the big booby mummies. It had
the big booby mummies. Why they got big boobies?
They just do. It has that scene where the Doctor and Sarah Jane just turn right back around.
Oh, I honestly, I didn't love Legopolis.
I didn't love Legopolis either.
I know it's like that one. Where the fourth Doctor...
The mummies smush a guy. Remember? They just like hug him to death.
Pyramids of Mars. It's doing something. Legopolis is kind of a mess.
All right, moving on. Pyramids of Mars. Is that everything? And now we're about to do...
Now we're about to do round three.
Yes. Seeds of Doom and Planet of Evil. Plants versus... What did I say Planet of Evil was?
I don't remember.
Oh, that was...
I think we just passed it on because we didn't like Keeper of Tracking.
Yeah, Planet of Evil's fine. It's the Outline Monster and...
Seeds of Doom.
Seeds of Doom. Shada... Oh, fuck.
I don't know.
Shada and City of Death.
I don't know.
Oh, fuck. You know what? I might give City of Death the advantage just for being a fully existing thing that isn't ridiculous to watch.
Not essentially Dirk Gently.
Well, I mean, City of Death is a little bit Dirk Gently, too. The villain's motivation is the exact same motivation as the villain in Dirk Gently. Those are both Dirk Gently. This is Dirk Gently versus Dirk Gently.
And it's so hard to pick between the two.
I think I would say City of Death. It's one shorter.
I couldn't really argue for one or the other without like watching them both.
Yeah, let's just watch both of them.
All right, let's stop doing the podcast. We're going to go watch Shada. Then we're going to watch City of Death. And then we're going to come back. And then we're going to finish the bracket.
Like, Shada's good. It's a little overlong. And again, it's like, it cuts back and forth between live action and animation. And some, that's fine. But I prefer to watch City of Death, which is just there in its entirety.
I accept your argument.
Plus, it has that the American guy. The stereotypical American, who is great. City of Death, moving on. Horror of Fangrock and the Pirate Planet.
I feel like Horror of Fangrock was the better.
Yeah, I'd actually
like
agree.
It was constructed, whereas the Pirate Planet was a lot of fun.
But it was a little wobbly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say Horror of Fangrock. That's good. Well, we lost our second Douglas Adams.
Brain of Morbius, Ark in Space.
Brain of Morbius. No question.
Hard favorite, Brain of Morbius. Possibly going to the top?
We shall see. Warrior's Gate and the Hand of Fear. Hand of Fear has that bad Eldrad thing, and Warrior's Gate is near perfect. So,
so Warrior's Gate.
Warrior's Gate. Robots of Death, Stones of Blood.
Robots of Death.
Well, this one, we just know what's going on now. State of Decay, the Sunmakers.
Sunmakers. No contest. No contest. Man, the Sunmakers is a good one.
The Horns of Nymon or the Pyramids of Mars.
Horns of Nymon. Pass it on. Go.
Okay. I was going to argue a little bit about that one, but no.
It's, no.
It's got that cheesiness. Seeds of Doom versus City of Death.
City of Death.
Like we're
on the same page now. We're clicking through.
We had some difficulty at the beginning. Like, I feel like if this had been randomized a little bit differently and like great ones weren't up against great ones so early on, Horror of Fangrock or the Brain of Morbius.
The Brain of Morbius. Oh no.
Yeah, I know. I see what the next bracket is. Let's not spoil it. It's going to be rough.
Let's spoil it. People know how brackets work.
Well, they might not. They might not be able to visualize it. Warrior's Gate and the Robots of Death. Warrior's Gate for me.
Robots of Death.
Really?
Yeah. On account of it's got robots.
Warrior's Gate has a robot. He's a dog.
What I would like to see, Chris's ranking.
Am I calling Chris?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I know he's just going to side with you and we're going to pass on Warrior's Gate.
Right. Yeah. Warrior's Gate, Robots of Death.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God damn it, Chris Cherry!
I love it, it's really great, costumes and stuff, and it's just really fun. It's very,
we need to get a second judge.
Hold on, wait. And it's all this great stuff, and yada yada yada. And it's telling them, frankly, telling a better, more cohesive story than Warrior's Gate does. And I think Robots of Death is higher on my ranking than Warrior's Gate is. But my last watch of Warrior's Gate made me really like Warrior's Gate. Maybe you do need another judge. I don't know. If I had not rewatched Warrior's Gate recently, I would be Robots of Death. But I think it's Warrior's Gate.
You have not sided with me one time. It's got robots.
And
one of them is a friend.
Do not throw hands at me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. You know what? You're convincing me on Robots of Death now.
This has not been helpful.
You've actually convinced me to change my mind to Robots of Death somehow.
Yeah, but yeah. Now I'm kind of for Warrior's Gate. I don't know. I'm just as lost.
Well, we'll figure it out. Thanks for your input. All right. See you soon.
Should we call someone else?
Who? Who else that's watched all of Fourth Doctor? I do have Ben Patton's number. All
right, listen. Let's move on to the next one. We'll come back to this.
Okay.
I don't want to get too stalled.
Sunmakers or Horns of Nymon?
Oh, Sunmakers. No. Horns of Nymon, I'm sorry.
It's Sunmakers, though.
Yes. I'm sorry, Horns of Nymon. You're number one in my heart. We're back.
Oh, I mean, we can do this one.
Okay, we're just moving on.
Fuck, this one's hard too. City of Death and the Brain of Morbius. I will say, City of Death, I love it. But
it's the Brain of Morbius.
Yeah, it's the Brain of Morbius. Because City of Death rambles a bit with just we're in Paris. Hey look, we're in Paris.
We're definitely in Paris.
And
we're
that gets
super
a little tedious.
In Paris.
All right. Now we gotta figure out Warrior's Gate versus
Robot of Death. As much as I would like to argue for Robots of Death. And you came around to Robots of Death because it is an amazing serial. And I think you only really like Warrior's Gate more because we watched it more recently. When we called Chris Cherry, Chris Cherry's gut said Warrior's Gate. So I say we pass on Warrior's Gate.
Okay.
Even though I think we should be passing on Robots of Death. Is Alan online?
Alan was actually on both Robots of Death and...
That makes him perfect to decide between the two. You know he's seen him. He did them for the show.
You know what? I have a copy of his 50 greatest Doctor Who hits. I want to see which one is higher. And I think they both are in it. So hold on. Doctor Who's Greatest Hits by R. Allen Siler. I've got an older version. He's either about to release or has already released an updated version.
Where does he have higher?
Robots of Death is here. Let's see if Warrior's Gate is higher.
I don't even see Warrior's Gate.
Warrior's Gate's not even in here. So I guess it's Robots of Death. Shit. I've been saying for a while that it was going to top.
Warrior's Gate? Ugh, I don't like this. This is one that I genuinely don't like. I want to move on Warrior's Gate. And I also really want to move on Robots of Death. I'm very... I've honestly been convinced each time. Should we just do like a rock, paper, scissors so we can move on?
Sure. Wait, what are you vote? What are you rock, paper, scissoring for?
I mean, literally, like, we flip a coin.
Oh.
Like, heads, we pass on Warrior's Gate. Tails, we pass on Robots of Death.
I don't have a coin?
Oh. You got an app or something? Heads, Warrior's Gate. Tails, Robots of Death.
All right. Well, it says Robots of Death.
Okay. We pass on Robots of Death.
Damn it. Fine.
Does that feel wrong?
They both feel wrong.
They're up against each other and there can only be one.
You know what? Robots of Death is probably a little bit more enjoyable than Warrior's Gate. Okay. Warrior's Gate's good.
Oh, God. That was exhausting.
Jesus. Robots of Death. Moving on. Okay.
I feel like we called Chris Cherry and he said Warrior's Gate. And then we were like, nah.
Well, you know, sometimes that happens. All right, so next up we have Robots of Death and the Sunmakers.
Sunmakers.
That was super easy.
Yeah. Question.
Yeah.
Would you have a harder time choosing between the Sunmakers and Warrior's Gate?
Yeah.
You would.
I think so. I don't know.
That tells me that we've passed the wrong one on. Wait, okay. Warrior's Gate, Sunmakers. Choose now.
Sunmakers.
Okay. Maybe. Then it doesn't matter.
I don't know. Fuck, this is hard.
It doesn't matter if Sunmakers was going to win either way. Because it's Sunmakers versus the Brain of Morbius now.
Well, like, I'm just realizing maybe Warrior's Gate is great, but I don't know if it's as good.
Here's the thing.
Enjoyable.
I think part of what made Warrior's Gate so great
was that it was different.
Wasn't just that it was different. It was, like, the expectations that everybody else placed on it and, like, your reaction to it. I think that's why, on rewatching it the second time, Chris found it way more enjoyable because we were watching it together, and like your reaction to Warrior's Gate is part of what makes Warrior's Gate such a good episode for me.
Right.
Whereas like Robots of Death, if I had watched Robots of Death on my own and Warrior's Gate on my own, I'd been like, oh yeah, Warrior's Gate is great, or Robots of Death is great, Warrior's Gate is whatever. I liked it, but it wasn't as good as like Robots of Death. Watching it with you is what made Warrior's Gate so much fun. I mean, it's a good serial. I'm not saying that it's not good. It explores interesting ideas, but like I think part of what made Warrior's Gate so much fun was like the experience of a bunch of people being like, oh man, when you get to that one, you'll have to explain to me what's going on in it, and you being like, it's this.
Right.
Like that was what was fun about Warrior's Gate to me.
So I kind of assumed we would have Douglas Adams right here at the top somewhere, but
we have two
Robert Holmes. We have the Brain of Morbius and the Sunmakers.
Oh, Joe, I think we're going to fight.
I think the Sunmakers is a lot of fun.
So much fun. It's the most fun.
But
it's.
I think the Sunmakers is equivalent to just a guy grumpily writing about not wanting to pay taxes. Whereas the Brain of Morbius is a more engaging, solid story that is both fun, exciting, and, again, scary.
All right, but consider this. A man gets very small in it.
Yes.
A man gets very small.
Consider this. The Brain of Morbius has a brain that falls on the floor and then gets put back into somebody. Picked back up.
A man gets very small.
Brain of Morbius has that scene where they brain fight each other and then we see incarnations of the Doctor that don't make sense.
A man gets very small. So small.
If we call Chris Cherry, he's going to say Brains of Morbius.
I know, but he already told us that. All right, Brains of Morbius.
I mean, I don't feel comfortable doing that. This is the last one.
Our tiebreaker, we already know what our tiebreaker would say. What does Alan say?
But I'm looking it up. I don't see either of them in here.
Alan, we have questions for you.
Brain of Morbius is what I want from a horror comedy.
I think that's why my leaning is towards the Sunmakers, because I'm like, well, there's no horror in it, which is my favorite.
Right. They do chuck a dude off a roof.
They just chuck him right off the roof. It's amazing. Also, a man gets very small, and they throw a guy...
Mahogany!
And they throw a guy right off the roof. And remember when we watched it at Hulanta, and like... We were doing, what?
We were about to do Tank Girl, I think.
We were about to do Tank Girl for the podcast. And, like, we came in to the end of the Sunmakers. And we were like, what was that? When are we getting to that?
All right. We can move on Sunmakers.
Okay, but... Now I feel bad about it.
Should we call Chris?
Maybe we should just leave. No, that's what I'm saying. I
was going to call Chris when we finished.
We didn't call Chris because we already know. I think we should just leave it at this. Sun Makers, Brain of Morbius.
Tie. Well, there's 7 years of him. We get to pick two.
Yeah. Listen, here, question. Because we said, like, brackets are in no way, like, a ranking system. Could you give me top 10 episodes?
10?
5?
Yeah, do 5.
Okay, 5. Top 5.
Warrior's Gate, Brain of Morbius.
You put Warrior's Gate right at the top.
Well, I miss it. I mean, I'm not, these are just top 5. Okay. They're not
in
ranked.
No certain order.
They're just top 5. Warrior's Gate, Brain of Morbius, City of Death, Shada, Sunmakers, probably.
I mean, Genesis of the Daleks, we said, was top 10.
Top 10. I wouldn't say it's top 5. Because I honestly think it's slightly overrated. It's Terranation. I think it's good. It's the best Terranation script. But I think it loses steam at the end. So yeah, those are my 5. What did I say?
Whatever he said, that's his top 5.
City of Death, Shada, Brain of Morbius, Sunmakers, Warrior's Gate.
We definitely have, like, a particular flavor of Doctor Who that we like the best, don't we?
Yeah. Robert Holmes made it all the way to the top. And we cut out a Robert Holmes story entirely.
God, I'm exhausted. That was hard.
Yeah, that was really hard.
I need a nap.
All right, and we're not even done.
I don't even know if I feel good about this, to be honest.
I don't feel great about it either. I felt so good about our choices the past 3 Doctors, because previously we had for the first Doctor, Mythmakers. Second Doctor,
The Mind. Yeah, I have no qualms about that.
Yeah, second Doctor, The Mind Robber.
Easy.
Third Doctor, Inferno.
We did have a hard time with Inferno, because we almost didn't pass Inferno on.
Really?
Yeah, we had to call Chris. I think part of it was that I couldn't really remember Inferno, and then, like, the more he was arguing for it, the more I was like, oh yeah, it was pretty good. And then it ended up topping.
Would you say the Brain of Morbius or the Sunmakers are better than any of those 3? The Mythmakers, the Mind Robber, and Inferno. I'd definitely say
they're better than
I was going to say they're better than the Mythmakers.
No, I was going to say they're better than Inferno and the Mind Robber, but probably not the Mythmakers.
Well, last time we said the Mythmakers was number 3, Inferno was number 2, and Mind Robber was number 1.
Did we?
We, yes.
I don't know. All my opinions are made up.
Thanks for listening to our pointless podcast.
None of my opinions are actually real.
Look, I'm moving on to Sunmakers.
Oh, we did it.
Yeah, Sunmakers.
Damn, okay.
For you. I love you. Sunmakers 1. Congratulations.
There's somebody right now who's just yelling at us. What's wrong with you? Sunmakers?
The Sunmakers.
We are who we are. I don't know what to say.
I'm so tired.
Like, if you do something weird, we're impressed.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the episode, but how many times have I said my favorite 13th Doctor special, series?
episode? Yeah, the one with the frog.
Yeah, I can't ever.
It takes you away.
It takes you away. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
So good. Why is it a frog? Mm-hmm.
Why not?
It just wants to be a frog. Life's just like that sometimes. What else?
Yeah.
Is that what you have listed, that we do a bracket with the top tops?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. No, that's what we did. Well.
Wow.
I'm done. I can't. I feel bad about this whole bracket situation.
You feel bad.
I don't know. Like,
we're not happy with it. How about this? Without thinking about the bracket, without thinking about anything else, tell me your number one favorite 4th Doctor serial.
Warrior's Gate.
Okay.
It's Warrior's Gate or Brain of Morbius. I actually kind of forgot about Brain of Morbius because it was so long ago, but like.
Talking about it,
I was like, man, that's such a good one. It's the same feeling I get when I watch, like, Galaxy Quest or, you know, just something that's, like, fulfilling. It's like, yeah, like, I'm pumped about this. Like, I want to share this with other people.
Would you feel better about the bracket if Warrior's Gate won?
No, because...
Would you feel better about the bracket if Brain of Morbius won?
Maybe. Without the bracket, what's your number one?
I mean, it's hard for me to say because I don't enjoy TV that way.
Right.
I have just an insane amount of memory decay. Brain of Morbius, I remember feelings. Like, when we were talking about, like, the very first one, where it's like, I remember the cactus, and the cactus was funny. And when you're describing ones, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was good. I think my gut instinct is, like, Sunmakers. Sunmakers is the most fun I remember having watching the show. And that's what I remember. Not necessarily like, that was really well constructed and that was stuff like that. I remember the feeling of fun I had while watching Warriors or Sunmakers. God. I feel like we definitely teased out like the top three. And we can feel good about that.
Yeah. What have we decided here?
We've decided that brackets are a bad way to do this.
Yeah.
And that it's really difficult to narrow down 7 years of television into, like, the top whatever. Also, do we have nothing from, like, Key to Time?
Rebos got kicked out way too fucking early.
Oh, yeah. Rebos should have been
Rebos
higher.
Rebos is actually way up there, too.
Yeah.
Rebos.
I don't remember.
Benro is right. Scringstone.
That should, like, ranking-wise, that's top 10, for sure. Yeah.
All of these are ones Chris Cherry was fucking on.
He's got good taste.
Well, through our bracket, even though as messy as it was, you've sort of figured out which ones we really like and which ones we more just sort of like, eh.
Yeah, especially there in like that second and third round where we're like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely this one. It's definitely that one. So I think we should take a quick break.
Yeah, my brain needs a nap.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to predict some five and maybe do a general wrap up of four.
Okay.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
And we're back. Tony, we don't have to do that. Before we jump into five, is there any final thoughts you have about Tom Baker, about the Fourth Doctor era in general?
I will say I'm starting to feel kind of bad because I feel like we've been very down on Tom Baker, like on this era for a while. And I don't want to feel that. I mean, there's definitely a reason why, like for a lot of people, this is quintessential Classic Who. There's some of the best stories and best serials come from this era.
Clearly.
Yeah.
This is the hardest time we've ever had.
Such a difficult time trying to do the bracket. Usually we're just like... Pass it on. Not that one. That one. This one was really hard because there's a lot of really good stuff. And there's stuff that I feel like we didn't even talk about that probably should have been higher.
You know, there's actually like some of the best ones we had at the top were all from like different eras.
Yeah, it's not like there was one era of the show that was really good and then it moved on to something that was really bad. I think it's just that. I mean, 7 years is a long time. There's a lot of hit and miss to go on in that time. I think it sucks that like the out for this era is like that he left when it was starting to feel like kind of stale, and the uninterest is like palpable in the show. And so like I kind of hate to like end it on that note when like in reality it was like there's so much of it that's so good.
I agree. I love him. I was very excited to get to him, and he didn't disappoint.
Yeah,
this whole era was a lot of fun. There's some ups and some downs, even the season that this last season where he's not super into it. I do think there's some great stuff.
I mean,
there.
Warrior's Gate,
yeah. Meglos is even fun, and Leecher Hive looked great.
It sure did.
But yeah, I love the Hinchcliffe horror era, like Brains of Morbius. I love the Graham Williams silly era, because all the Douglas Adams stuff was great. I even liked, like, Creature from the Pit and the Horns of Nymon. I even loved the earlier stuff.
Three Nymon.
I mean, his very first one was great. Robot was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like I've said this before, I feel like it's a show about change. I mean, he has had these many changes, but it's been stale. Yeah, it's been kind of a little harder to get through than the previous Doctors, just because it feels like, oh my God, we're still doing this. And yeah, it's been a little bit harder to get through than the previous Doctors. Not that it hasn't been enjoyable, it has been, but it's definitely, this was like the biggest chunk to get through.
Yeah.
Like this was always going, doing this podcast was always going to be a big task, a big deal, right?
Do you think
But like that, this was like the longest period of time where we're like, it's still Tom Baker.
Do you think that like part of the reason why this feels like such a long time is just because we're thinking of it as like chapters in a book and we're like, this chapter is longer, like significantly longer than all the other chapters. What's happening?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, really, it's a show unto itself. 7 years. Like that's as long as some shows run. So it definitely feels like a very long time. Like, we've watched the length of an entire show just in Tom Baker's era, not including 1 to 3, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do think we are thinking of it like chapters. And, you know, it probably would have been better if we thought of it broken up into the eras that are contained within the Fourth Doctor era. That would have maybe broken up in my mind a little bit more if I was like, oh, we're in the Hinchcliffe era. Well, that's going to last for this long. That's over. Now we're into the new era, the Grant Williams era. Oh, now we're into Jonathan Nathan Turner.
To be honest, though, it's not something that I, like, know a lot about Doctor Who. That's usually stuff that I learn from having guests on the show, people who know a lot more about Doctor Who than me, and they'll say things like, oh, well, you're getting into this era now. It's about to be all horror, and it's about to get real silly. Beyond when it was, like, really scary, like, when we were in the, like, silly era, it didn't feel that silly. The changes didn't feel very dramatic. Beyond getting out of that Hinchcliffe, there's definitely differences, but it didn't feel very dramatic to me. When you say, like, you're in the silly era now, I expect it to be, like, goofy.
I do feel like it got a lot less... Well, because here's the thing, I think it stayed pretty good, especially when Douglas Adams was writing it. But there was, like, definitely a short period there in the Graham Williams era where it felt, like, less polished. Like, it felt more like they were just slapping something together and throwing it out.
I mean, you know what it feels like? It feels like you've been in, like, a job for too long.
Yeah.
Where it's like everybody there has been doing it for so long the same way, and it's just like, well, this is how you do it, this is how it gets done. And so they're just sort of churning out the same stuff.
I don't mean
like, oh, Tom Baker was in the job too long. I mean, like, literally you're doing it, you have the entire thing is running on a track, right? Like,
right.
You have a certain story that you tell, you've got Base Under Siege, you tell, like, you write that story, and you film it a certain way, you don't move the camera, and all this stuff. You just are doing the same thing over and over again, because you've gotten into a rut, you've gotten into a pattern.
But yeah, I feel like, yeah, I don't want to be so
down. We don't want to go down on that note.
Honestly, I like Tom Baker a lot. I like him better than...
Careful.
Well, I like him better than 3. I like 3, but 3, he's an action movie hero. Whereas Tom Baker is a big weirdo, you know? I like my big weirdo doctors.
Yeah, 3 probably feels like the least doctory of the doctors.
Right.
Because he should be a big weirdo.
So, yeah, and like, I mean, we're a little down on the third doctor, but I love the third doctor. But yeah, like, I love the fourth doctor, too. I've loved every doctor.
Yeah.
So it's just, honestly, it's more on me than it is Tom Baker, you know what I mean? Just getting a little burnt out. We didn't take 7 years to do this and spaced it out. We crammed 7 years into 2, which is a little rough.
We've absorbed so much Doctor Who information, you guys, in such a small amount of time.
It's not like watching a regular show where you're like, you watch a 30-minute episode, you watch an hour-long episode. We're watching 2, you know, 2-hour, 3-hour episodes, basically.
At a time. Like,
yeah.
Demented people.
What we're saying is we've done this all wrong.
We've made some poor choices.
So, A plus to the fourth doctor, a strong C minus for us.
That feels fair. That feels good. What's next? We want to do some predictions for 5. My prediction for 5, I will want to protect this soft boy.
I feel like we're going to have a similar tone to the season we just had, but with a doctor that's more interested in it. I feel like some of the rough edges are going to be a little bit more smoothed out. I don't know if they're going to be perfectly smoothed out.
I have another prediction. Nyssa, Tegan, get for each other.
I feel like we might kill a companion this season.
Oh, no. This doctor.
I feel like that might happen.
I don't know how soon that's coming up.
I don't know either. I feel like it can't be too soon, because we got to have a little bit of getting really tired of Adric.
People haven't really gotten good and tired of him yet.
Like, I've heard a lot that Adric was fine with the fourth doctor, which I agree with, but then sucks with the fifth doctor because the dynamic shifted and it doesn't work anymore. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's going to smooth out some of the edges, rough edges. And you think Tegan and Nyssa are going to be gay for each other?
I mean, in like a...
We can't say it, but it's definitely there sort of way.
If not that, then like in like a fandom way, right?
Mm, yeah.
Where you're like, yeah, there's enough there. It's right. Probably not even intentional.
You think it's going to be like Jamie and 2 level or...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
I could be down for that. That's a decent prediction. I feel like we might have some more low-key stories. You know how, like, Legopolis kind of, like, just moved at a slower pace?
Mm.
I think we might have some more of those. Just slower paced serials.
How come?
I don't know. I think it's just the little bit that I've seen of Five. He seems like less energetic.
He's not a big energetic weirdo.
Yeah.
He's a soft, quiet boy.
Technically, I've seen one serial of the Fifth Doctor, but I've mostly forgot it. So when we get to it, it's going to be slightly new.
Joe purposefully was like, I'm not retaining any of this information.
I'm just listening to the jokes. I'm not paying attention to the plot. I'm just listening for the jokes. So it is a little fuzzy. I don't super remember the plot. And also, it's going to be cool seeing some of the old doctors again and be like, oh, I get that bit now.
You know?
So I think, my prediction, I'm going to enjoy that serial a little bit better than the first time I watched it.
That's good, because it's not very good.
That's all the predictions I got, I think.
Yeah, man, we've been doing this for 2 hours. Let's,
Before we go, is there anything you want to plug?
Please watch The Unseen World. I know I say it every time, but, like, it's on the Roku. It's streaming. You can just watch it on the internet if you want, like, at any time. And that would be cool of you, because I put a lot of work into making it. I would like for people to watch it.
Hey, check out our other podcast, Burn Notice Noticed.
It ran for a season, but it's really good. It's fun.
Yeah, it's super fun.
We had a good time recording it, and I'm kind of bummed that, like we made it as a joke, and so it is what it is, but, like, I think it's really good. Like, yeah. I'm kind of really proud of it.
You don't have to listen to Burn Notice. In fact, don't.
No, don't.
Who makes that show? Just fucking Brie Castellani and who, Chris Cherry?
Whoever that is. Have we explained?
It's not like he's been in this episode.
What Burn Notice is on this podcast before?
Oh, many times.
We probably just one more time in case people are new.
Sure. Burn Notice is a podcast about Burn Notice, which is a podcast about Burn Notice, a show about spies.
Chris Cherry and Brie Castellani they're still doing it. They're doing a podcast called Burn Noticed, and we did a podcast about their podcast. Their podcast is weekly.
Perfectly normal.
Their podcast was weekly, and it was getting to be
too much.
Too much for us to do a weekly podcast on top of Watchathon.
A bi-weekly podcast, which, by the way, we need to take a break from this. We should probably say that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
We're going to take a little bit of a break. I mean, it's already the holidays. Actually, I think this episode goes up on Christmas. Merry Christmas!
Well, that's terrible for downloads, but okay.
It's holidays. We're both very busy at work. Also, I think we are a little burnt out, and we need a little bit of a break and a breather before we jump back in. We've been saying, I'm tired. I mean, it's not going away. We're going to come back. I don't know how long the break's
going to
be.
I don't even think it's going to be that long, because if this is going up Christmas, like, really, we need, like, kind of a break for the holidays.
But, I mean, we don't have time to record new episodes and watch new episodes and stuff to stay on this schedule because Christmas and holidays and stuff. And, again, work.
So, like, we probably will not even think about recording the next one until January?
January, yeah, at least. I do think if we take a little bit longer than that, I'm still going to try to get some bonus episodes up.
Yeah, we might do something. If we're, like, not able to get stuff out as quick as we'd like to, we'll definitely do something, like, small bonusy things.
For patrons and stuff as well.
I have actually, like, a couple ideas that I want to do for bonus episodes.
13 starting back up, too. We might just do some, like, post-episode live reaction sort of things. We were going to do that for the last season. We just didn't do it. We could do it for the new season. New season starts New Year's, so.
Does it?
Yeah. I think also we might want to build up a little bit of a backlog before we come back from hiatus as well.
Yeah.
Just so that I'm less like, oh shit.
Probably want to get 2 or 3 in the can and.
Yeah. And
then we'll start releasing them again.
We've restructured a little bit. We're going to have a little bit less guests so we can get through them a little quicker and a little. Because part of the problem is scheduling,
right.
Honestly. I love the guests and everything, but, like, also it's sometimes
every
it's
single
like,
one
oh,
of them's a
fuck.
Star.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, it's like trying to get everybody together and, like, figure out when they can do it. It's hard to stay on schedule sometimes. So we've spread them out a little bit more. They're all of our guests are still coming back. But they're a little more spread out, and I think that's going to make it a little bit easier on us. Also, we might be restructuring the format a little bit.
We're going to try some things out and see how they feel. We're not drastically changing anything. For one thing, we're making sure that, like, I engage more. Mm-hmm. We're going to be sort of trading off, like, I'm going to be responsible for, like, recapping an episode. Joe will be responsible for recapping an episode and trade off a little bit. I think we talked about this a little bit.
But we kind of tested it out in Legopolis. It didn't fully work because I gave you the episodes that had all the stuff you didn't understand.
That I didn't understand. I was trying to explain things that I didn't get. Yeah, so if you're listening to Legopolis and you're like, this feels different, that was why. We're trying to figure out how to have it be less just like...
recounting the plot?
Yes, and more fun stuff.
If you have thoughts or ideas about the structure of our podcast, let us know.
Even if your thought is like, don't change it, leave it the same, or yeah, any suggestion. We're trying to make it better.
We're on social media, Watch Your Rass and our Tumblr, and yeah, our email is watchathonrassalon@gmail.com. If you have any ideas or thoughts, feel free to email us. Yeah,
I think ideally what we're looking for is to make it more like less dry. Part of it is that we did we were just talking about Burn Noticed. And we were doing Burn Noticed, and we were having a lot of fun, and then we would go back to doing Watchathon, and I would be like, oh, we're spending so much time just being like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and I would like to cut down on that and have there be more fart jokes.
Fart jokes?
Maybe not fart jokes, yeah. But more jokes.
But if you like this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourRassLon.com, and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It does iTunes magic.
It does.
You can even tell us what we should do on iTunes.
Leave us a review and tell us what our podcast should be like. We've only been doing this for...
stay the course, change everything, whatever.
Just stop doing Doctor Who, start doing Farscape.
And if you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourrassalon.com/support, and there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus episodes, which I'm going to be doing. I'm still going to be trying to keep up on that. Live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. And all those are still up. We'll still be up for, like, if you want to go back and watch stuff. If you want to go back and watch us. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassalon page. Speaking of, I want to say special thanks to all of our Friends of Rassalon.
Oh, all of them.
All of them. They're all great. Zoe Allen Wickler, IndigoISEAU.tumblr.com.
Thanks, Zoe.
Brie Castellini, she said BrainsWebSeries.com, but that's probably not where she wants to link to anymore. Undead Burrito, I don't know what her website is. Just Brie Castellini.
She'll pop up. Thanks, Brie.
Steve Conway, actual sea pirate. Twitter.com/Steve Conway or 8radio.com.
Thanks, Steve.
Elliot Cooper, hey, bud. DocWithTardisFez.tumblr.com.
Thanks, Elliot.
Ben Caldell, who does Doctor Who 50 Years Ago, which is on YouTube.
Thanks, Ben.
The ESO Network.
Thanks, ESO Network, for letting us be on your network.
Yeah, and also, I think they throw a buck at us on our Patreon. Ray Friesen.
Thanks, Ray.
RayFriesen.com. Matt Golden.
Thanks, Matt. Wait. Hey, thanks, Matt.
MGoldenTumbles.tumblr.com or... wherever else you want to find him.
Wherever Matt Goldens are sold.
Brad Heath.
Thanks, Brad.
That's my dad. Facebook.com/Brad.Heath.5437.
That's where you can reach Brad Heath.
Hope Heath. That's my mom.
Do your mom and your dad both give us a dollar?
They both bought us Doctor Who DVDs.
Oh. Thanks, Hope.
Facebook.com/Hope.HortonHeath. Felicity Cousinitz of The Flopcast.
Thanks, Felicity.
Flopcast.net. Lily or bisexualbrigadier.tumblr.com.
Thanks, Bisexual Brigadier.
Ian McClain.
Hey, thanks, Ian. Ian is
on the Discord.
In our Discord all the time.
Melissa of MaliceRewatchesDoctorWho.tumblr.com.
Yay, thanks, Melissa. Melissa's like one of our earliest followers, I think.
She just messaged us on Patreon the other day, too. She said she's been gone for a while and she wants to jump back into watching the watch-alongs with us.
Ooh, yay!
And she was also on the podcast a couple of times. She's great. Jason Perry.
Thanks, Jason.
Rachel S.
Thanks, Rachel.
And Carrie Varner.
Ooh, thanks, Carrie.
And check out her Patreon at patreon.com/Carrie Varner.
She paints.
Varner. That's C-A-R-I-E. Yeah, she's great. We got some of her art on our wall right here. We got a Rigel.
We got a Rigel. We got a Shredder. I don't have my Ninja Turtles up, but...
Is that hers, too?
Yeah.
It's just a flower.
I like the colors in it.
I think she has a Cyberman.
I think she does, yeah.
We should get that. Thanks all you guys. You guys are awesome. When we come back from hiatus, we're not going to be doing The Fifth Doctor.
No.
We're going to be doing Canine and Company.
Which should be very exciting because we've been asked multiple times by multiple people.
Yeah. I don't know if it's good. In fact, I predict that it's not. But I bet it's going to be fun. But until then, keep calm and wrestle on. And Merry Christmas!
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
And Merry Christmas!
And Merry Christmas!
You may be a doctor, but I'm the doctor. The definite article, you might say.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.